Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Sunday Morning, a news and public affairs programming service of Cox Media Group. I'm your host, Mimi Lawson. Sarah Combs has been with us before. She's with the University Area Community Development Corporation, or UACDC. I could never do that.
I know it's a hard name to pronounce. We're trying to change that with our board, but we're saying it's the University Area CDC to make it a little bit easier.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. We've talked before a couple of different times, but for somebody who hasn't had the privilege of being in on one of our conversations, let's start talking about what UACDC really is first.
Sure. Well, I just want to thank you so much for allowing me to be on air and share with our listeners.
You're my pleasure.
The University Area CDC is mission and vision is really to improve the area around USF, known as University Area Community. Mm-hmm. And so our organization and group was started in 1999 as a private nonprofit organization to really focus on improving the community. And so the University Area CDC has a plethora of programs and services really to focus on improving the university area.
Does it bother you that some people call that area Suitcase City?
It does. I know that we've been trying to get that name changed for quite some time. But you know what?
Every time I talk about it, somebody goes, oh, Suitcase City. And it makes me angry. And I'm not even really involved with you
Absolutely.
Guys.
Well, it's unfortunate that the name still is associated with the area. But we've got some major changes to do. Mm-hmm. And we've got to make some improvement to that area. And then people will stop calling it. My dream is to be able to do a suitcase burning party. When we have the stats that are so great to say we really are changing the community. So I think in 2 to 4 years, we'll be having that suitcase burning party because we'll show the change that we've been able to make in the community.
I think that's great. How I got involved with you guys had come in and talked about this. And I really was so into the vision that you had that I came and visited over there.
Yep.
And I just want to share that I was literally overwhelmed. And, you know, I see a lot of nonprofits come through here. We talk to a lot of people who are trying to do great things in the community. And then there's just those people like you who are really putting not only their money where their mouth is, but their time, their effort, their vision into something that really matters. I mean, what I really loved about you guys is that it literally is a hands-on. It is not this whole bureaucracy. It's like, here's what we have, here's what we're going to do, and you do it.
Absolutely. I think that what we're trying to do is really get down to the basics and find out, how do we need to change this community?
Right.
We need to focus on housing. We need to focus on health and wellness. We need to focus on education. We need to focus on nutrition. And we're simply, you know, taking down the red tape and doing that. We're, you know, working with our partners, we're working with local businesses to make that happen, and we're really making it simple and holistic in nature.
It really has to be, I think, to be able to get the things to the people, to the community, because I think that a lot of people, and I'm saying I think because I don't know, I think people in these kinds of communities that are really having, they have so many issues to deal with that the bureaucracy, they're tired of it.
Absolutely.
And the one thing that I like that you guys do is you literally go door to door with the help. And let's talk about that for a second. What do you do? Do you just walk out in the community and say, hey, this is what we have?
Well, we do a number of different things. Because we have so many different programs and services, we kind of have a strategic approach for each of them. Mm-hmm. One of the most successful programs that we've implemented is our Steps for Success program, and that's a very new program. We're in our third year, and because it's been so successful, we've tripled our funding every year, which is a testament to how great this program is. And the program is really focused on an individual. It's holistic in nature, and we're really looking for individuals who want a hand up, not a handout.
I like that.
And we're trying to change their lives. And anyone that is in their family household, they're now in that program as well. Mm-hmm. And so that program is a 3 to 5 year program that is really designed to get someone that is going to be self-sustainable and break the cycle of poverty for anyone that is in the household with them, specifically for their children.
I had the pleasure of having three of those people here about a month ago to talk to me. I mean, living, breathing people who were sitting here telling all of us, look, this is where I started. This is where I am now. And they have full-time jobs with you guys.
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's easy to come up with a program and put it out there to the community, but now we have the measurable results to show. We are really changing people's lives in the community, and that's what it's about, is really breaking that cycle and, you know, wrapping around services, utilizing our partners as well to see how much we can utilize the services in our community to help those individuals in need.
We talked about a lot of these things in the last couple times that we just, you know, had discussions, but let's talk about some of those things. One of the things that I was really into, you are going to do this and are doing this community garden, which I told you I'd run the bush hog and the tractor.
We need you.
I'm ready. I'm there. You say that until I get on there and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, the house is coming down. You know, I just mow down everything in my way. But so the community garden is one of them. Let's talk about that.
Well, the community garden is located in the very heart of the community. One of the things that we said about 2 years ago is we have to do more things in the heart of the community. We needed to get away from our beautiful building and our wrought iron fences and literally do stuff in the heart of the community where the residents are. And so we started with the community garden that we've just planted our winter crop, which is really exciting. Yeah. So we're starting to see that take fruit. And our banana patch is starting to blossom as well.
Cool.
So we're having bananas, which is exciting.
Cool.
But that's doing really well. We also have the Harvest Hope Center and Kitchen on that property. We want to turn that property into a park, into the Harvest Hope Park. We want that to be a beacon of hope for the community. We want to do something so positive and exciting in the community that residents are going to come out and really take part in it and really build that collective efficacy with each other.
I had to laugh. I mean, I'm not laughing at you, but I have to laugh kind of with you that you ended up having to put a sign on the gate saying this food is free because you had people trying to come in and take it.
Yeah.
It's free to the community.
Well, that's one of the issues that we faced when we built the garden is the community didn't think it was for them.
Right.
And so we found that it was being broken into to for the food to be stolen because we live in the area is a food swamp, a food desert. They don't have access to these healthy, fresh foods.
Right.
So we had to post signs to say it's free. Come and get it.
Yeah.
You know? And so that took about a year of really changing the mindset of it. And now we have residents who are, you know, regular in helping with the garden and they're, you know, taking the produce home and really learning how to cook these new and exciting fruits and vegetables that they've never learned how to cook before in a healthy, nutritious way, which is exciting.
Well, and what I find exciting, too, is the idea that you are really touching lives and changing lives, because I would think that I know that we get, I don't know what the word is, numb to certain things. And I would imagine that people in this community get numb to promises that are made to them that never really come to fruition. And you guys are really bringing these services to them. Are you seeing a real opening of hearts in that community?
Absolutely. It's a tough community. I have to say that. It's unlike any community that I've ever worked in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have that challenge. But what we found is once you build that trust with an individual, then the doors open,
you know,
the gates come down and you can really make some progress. And so what we've done, instead of us just trying to go at it and build that trust, we reached out to our community partners and really community leaders in the community, because there's subcultures and we've identified those individuals who are very influential in the community and they understand what we're trying to do. And so we've brought them along with us to help open up those doors so that the individuals really understand where we're coming from and that we can be trusted. That's taken a long time though.
I bet.
And we've also had to prove our track record. You know, now they see that what we're really trying to do in that community, we're trying to help individuals really move up and, you know, break some of those cycles. Their gates are down, you know, the trust factor is there, fortunately.
Well, we took a tour around the garden in the back part is what we're talking about, the where you're going to have a fish pond.
Yeah. It's really exciting. We have a 1 acre freshwater pond on the Harvest Hope Park, Future Park. And we're right now in the middle of removing some invasive species. But the goal is to be able to have a tilapia fish farm where residents of the community can really come out and enjoy an experience that some of them have never had, which is fishing. You know, the whole idea around the park is really to unite the family.
Mm-hmm.
We want to create opportunities for the family to bond together, to really strengthen the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so what better way to be able to bring a park to the heart of the community and have a tilapia fish farm where you're able to go catch a fish, then go to the garden, cut some veggies, and then go into the kitchen and cook it. A healthy, sustainable meal that has been created from the heart of this community. So it's a model unlike anything that I've ever seen and anything that we've found. But we're really excited about it because the community is starting to really come out and say, well, what are you guys doing here? What's happening?
Mm-hmm.
How can I be a part of it? And that's what we want. We want the word to spread that what we're doing.
And you're really on the right track, because I started to say we took a tour around the neighborhood and we had to go the streets behind where the pond is. And there were a couple guys sitting out there, I think on their bikes or maybe garbage cans. And the first thing that the people that were with me said was, we want to make sure, oh, that's something we need to do. We need to put benches out there so they don't feel that when we get this done that we don't want them sitting there. We
Absolutely.
Want to give them a place to sit.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think a lot of times what happens is when people go into a community and they try to improve it, they think they're improving it, they just move everybody else out of it. You know, they make it so that if that's where those guys hang out, you're saying, let them hang out there. In fact, let's make it more comfortable for them to hang out. That's the heart that is making this the success that it is.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right in that. We're not trying to come in and change the community to where we're pushing people out.
Right.
We're trying to embrace the residents who are already there and really try to strengthen those relationships that they have and really teach them how to access for success, because I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we face in that community.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals don't know the resources that are out there, and they
right.
don't know the avenues to get there. And that's where we want to come in. And what we're doing is really boots on ground. We're going mm-hmm. into the community. We're knocking on doors. We're meeting with residents, and we're meeting them where they are in life and helping assist them. We're bringing them then to the center and showing them all the support services that we have. And wherever their needs are, we're meeting them there.
Well, and I think that that's true in most communities. I think, I mean, of course, we have the internet now and you can Google stuff, but that's what I have found in doing this show a lot, is that there are resources in our community and all of our communities that people don't know about. And
Absolutely.
That's the whole point of this show. But it's the whole point is to put that spotlight on people like you who are going in there and doing necessary things. And I really do believe, and I think you probably do too, that the family really is the heart of our society.
Absolutely.
When we strengthen that, we strengthen the entire society.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely correct in that. And, you know, to talk about a little bit more about utilizing our resources, we've created a partners coalition that now will be in our third year. We meet on a quarterly basis. It's open to community members, business leaders, anyone who's interested in really seeing a difference in the university area community.
Mm-hmm.
Our next meeting is on January 21st from 9 to 11 a.m. And we invite anyone who is out there who is interested in seeing improvement in this area and wants to get engaged and involved. That's a way for us to all come together, pull our resources. We have a directory that we hand out that shows what everyone's doing. So let's,
right.
again, work in tandem with each other. Let's
right.
not, you know, fight for resources. Let's not duplicate services. Let's work, you know, arm in arm. That's what we're trying to do with the Partners Coalition.
And you're doing a great job at it. So somebody that even isn't in that community, that their business isn't, or they don't live in that community, you're welcoming their support.
Absolutely. We'd love their support. We know that there's a lot of organizations and businesses and individuals who really want to get involved in something meaningful and make change. And I think that the university area community, this is the time. 2016, I feel, is the time of opportunity.
Too.
I'm really excited about all that we can accomplish this year. And I think that just for anyone listening, if they want to get involved in something that's really exciting and meaningful and impactful, that this is the opportunity for them to do that.
I think so, too. And like I said, you know, I have the opportunity, and I consider it a blessing to be involved with a lot of different people who are doing great things in the community. But every once in a while, something like this that I, you know, I'll step out and say, you know, I really got to see what's going on there. And it turns out, as good as it has, it's just awesome to see what you're doing. I feel mm-hmm. that way about Southeastern Guide Dogs. I feel that way about you.
I really appreciate that, Bibi, and it helps to get people out there like you that could really talk about it, because there's nothing like coming to our community and seeing it for yourself and then really witnessing the change that we want to have mm-hmm. and then being able to speak about it.
So you're having this meeting. Where is it?
It's at the University Area Center.
Is it? Okay.
Yep. So that's 10 or 14013 North 22nd Street, 33613, the University Area Community Center. We have it on a quarterly basis. You can go to our website, uacdc.org, and find out information on the Partners Coalition, as well as find out information on all of our programs and services that we have, as well as information on volunteering and how
right.
you can get engaged and involved.
Well, and let's talk about volunteering for a second. You know, I know I'm going to come over there and do some mowing and things like that, but you really, there are so many things that you wouldn't necessarily think of as volunteer opportunities that you are able to allow people to do or help with. Let's talk about some of those. We talked about the rides that you do. I mean, you go into the community. You've got these vans. Are they for reading? Is that what the vans
are? No,
for?
They're actually mobile vans that take Prodigy Cultural Arts programs
oh,
out into the community to individuals who don't have access to these services.
Oh, I see.
But you're right. We have so many different volunteer opportunities. We have tutoring volunteer opportunities. We have volunteer opportunities to sit on our mini committees. We have a housing committee. We have a partners committee. We have a resource development committee. We have volunteer opportunities for the garden, for the pond. You name it, we have a volunteer opportunity for you.
Right.
There's something for everyone. And with the list of programs and services that we're doing and the new initiatives that we're creating, we need volunteers now more than ever.
So that UACDC.org, is that what you said?
Yes, ma'am. That's okay. The website.
And you have a number?
558-5212, area code 813.
Great. So now I know that you have this meeting coming up, but you also have another thing that's coming up you
want
to talk about.
We do. We do. And it really centers around everything that we've been talking about up till now. It's our fourth annual Paint the Town, and it's going to be held on January 16th, which is a Saturday, at the UACDC. And what that event really is we're going to be cleaning up the town with several different projects. We allow, you know, community residents and an army of volunteers to come together to show what can happen when we roll up our sleeves and invest some sweat equity into our community. So we have painting projects. We have a house that we've adopted. There's a gentleman that is legally blind, and he's been cited from code enforcement
right. Because
he can't take care of his property. So we're going to go to his house, and we're going to beautify his house and make sure that all of those code liens are just wiped out.
Awesome.
We're going to clean up the pond and cut down some trees
yeah,
and cut down
are.
Some brush.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to plant some stuff, and we're going to paint some graffiti walls, and we're going to do a mural with kids. And like I said, we have a plethora of projects and services for that day. So anyone who's interested in really rolling up your sleeves and getting to work in our community, we're interested in having you there. You can go on our website, uacdc.org, and register, or you can just show up.
Right.
We're fine with you showing up. Again, that's Saturday, January 16th, 8:30 a.m. is a registration and breakfast, and then 9 a.m. is opening ceremonies, and then we'll be hitting the streets literally walking into the community to
awesome. Focus
on our projects and services.
Is this the only time you've done this? You say it's the fourth annual. Do you just do it once a year?
We do it just once a year, but between that we have many projects.
Good.
This event, we have about 500 volunteers, anywhere from 500 to 800 volunteers, but
wow.
we do quarterly events where it's about 50 to 100 small projects throughout the year, but this is the one annual event paired with Martin Luther King Day, where we really do our day of service, and we try to engage everyone in the community to get out and help.
If you had to make a list right here off the top of your head of the things that you need the most right now, besides volunteers, what would you say is your top priority at this point?
Ooh, I'm glad you asked me that, because I'm going to tell you a little story about what happened to us during this holiday break. You know, things come up that you don't necessarily think about, and you have your strategic plan for the year that you have all of your items that you need to do and whatever you're going to accomplish for the year. And there was something that came up this holiday break that we didn't plan for. I didn't have my list, nothing. We had a family come in, and they were about to get kicked out on the streets. And so, you know, we heard that several times before, and we saw if they were a good qualification for our STEPS program, which they were. It was a mother. She had four children, single mom, very well put together mom. The kids were very polite and really good. And we said, what happened? How did this happen? And she said she had her tax returns, and she paid 6 months in advance her rent. This is a responsible parent. She's responsible. She had a layoff, and she was 2 months behind on her rent. She lost her job, was losing her housing. She had 1 week when she got to us. She had tried everywhere.
Wow.
No one had a spot for her. And when she got to us, she had 1 week. It was less than 1 week. It was a Monday. She was going to get kicked out on a Friday.
Wow.
And she had gotten to the point where she knew in her mind that she was going to either give her kids up because she wasn't going to allow them to spend one night on the streets.
I just got chills.
For her to look us in our eyes and to say, I've come to the conclusion that I'm going to have to give my kids up because I will not allow them to spend one night in the streets. I was on the streets. I know what that's like, and I'm not going to let my children do that.
Wow.
We said, no, that's not the answer. You know, the university area, unfortunately, has the number one DCF removal rate of the
county.
Does
it really?
Number one.
Wow.
And so for me, I thought, we need to get ahead of this.
Mm-hmm.
Here are four children that could be placed in the system that shouldn't be placed. This
no.
is a good mom.
Right.
And so, you know, we did our due diligence. We called everyone, and everyone was full. We have an MOU partnership with Metropolitan Ministries. They were full. You know, we have...
Well, it's the holidays.
It's the holidays. And so... So we made it happen for her. We used some of our own discretionary funding to be able to put her up. But it got me thinking, and I started to talk to some of our staff, And they said, if we could just find a property that we could turn into transitional housing, we could mitigate these issues. You know, 30 to 90 days, it would just be transitional housing for families like this, where we could stabilize them, get them support and help that they need, and then, you know, create a plan and move them along on their way and really do it in tandem with STEPS. So that's something that I've started to talk to my board about. And I think something that we're going to start looking into, our affordable housing committee is really interested in it. So we're trying to identify a duplex or maybe a house in the university area that we could purchase and rehab and make it into a transitional living house for families that really, you know, fell on their luck, and they need a place to stay just for, you know, a short time until they can get back up. So that is what I am so excited and passionate about. I think that that mother came to our center for a reason. And I think that, you know, by being able to get ahead of it, in front of it, this transitional housing would be amazing program for us to create. So anyone out there that is interested in helping me make this happen, I mean, this is really just, it just happened over the holiday break, but it's something that I really feel is a calling for us to do.
Right.
So we're looking for, you know, to make that happen as soon as possible.
You know, there's a great model up in Pasco County. I've talked to these people before, and they do a similar thing. It's a village. It's for kids who have already been in the system. But what they do is they have a whole community of small houses, and they only have certain people who come in. So the children in these homes, they try to keep all of the kids together in the same home. And they only have, like, say, Leslie, who's with us, who won't talk this morning. Like, Leslie would come in on, you know, Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. You would be there Thursdays and Fridays. So they're not, you know, and Saturdays, and I'll go in there on Sunday. So they know the people, you know, there's consistency like there should be in a family. It's a great model. I'll have to turn you on to it.
You'll have to show me about
it. Yeah. So that sounds great.
That's my number one right now. Yeah. I mean, I really feel that it's kind of came to us for a reason. And, you know, so anyone out there listening that is interested, has some real estate knowledge and history, or knows a property in the university area, that's really what we're going to be hitting the ground running with now, starting now.
Right.
We want to make it happen, because I think that it's a big change that we can make. And we get ahead of it. We can, you know, be proactive in and get ahead of, you know, some of these horrible stats that are in the community by doing programs like this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so glad that you were there for her, because just the idea that somebody would give up their kids because they would be so afraid for them to be on the street. It's heartwarming in a way. But it's also a horrible thing to see happen.
Horrible thing. And, you know, here's a mother who is doing right. And she's a good mom. You could tell it from the way her kids are acting.
Right.
I mean, she is a good mom. And just the thought that she had to think about that. About she had this option that she almost had made that decision that she was going to give her kids up. And we stepped in at the nick of time to be able to say, that's not happening. We're not allowing that to happen. We're going to figure this out.
Right.
You know, but there's so many other families that get turned away because they're full, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're full. And then what happens to those children? What happens to that family dynamic? You know, nothing good.
Right. Exactly. And that's one of the things we were talking about, is I think that there's so many resources out there for people to help. And yet, you know, we say, okay, you can go here and they can pay your rent. You can go here. But it seems like every time I've ever contacted some of these resources, the answer I get every time is, we don't have any more money left for this month. I don't care what time, and I'm not putting anybody down, but that seems to be the stock answer that when I have reached out for other people, that I get. You get turned away a lot.
Yeah.
There's just not enough money anymore. We've already given away all the food, all the whatever that we have. And that doesn't happen here.
Yeah. And unfortunately, those are all Band-Aid approaches. You know, what we're trying to do here is really create a program that addresses everything in your life. And we assign navigators to be able to really navigate the systems and help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if we have a no here, then we go somewhere else. You know, we find it to make it happen. But we also are teaching these individuals how to access for success, how to access these services. So when they step away from the program and they're on their own, they know they have the skills, you know, to be able to be successful and to find out how to maneuver, you know, the avenues that they need to get what they need in life.
Well, it's like that old adage, you know, feed a man for a day, or, you know, what is it? But yeah, and teaching
to
fish.
He can eat for life.
And that's
exactly
you're
what it is. That's exactly what it
that's
is.
That's exactly what's happening. That's funny. Now, somebody who has some time, obviously you need volunteers, but let's talk about resources. Let's talk about somebody that maybe owns a building company or a painting company, or any of those kinds of things. Do you want them to just come in and say, okay, we're going to do this project for you? Or how do you engage them long-term in helping out?
Absolutely. Well, I think that any company or business or anyone that's interested in getting engaged and involved, I think the first step would be to really show them the community and show them the opportunity of the community. Because, you know, what I've been hearing a lot of is, you know, we're just sinking money after bad money after bad money. And that's not the case, I believe, in the university area community.
I don't think so either.
You know, the opportunity for change is so huge right now for mm-hmm. us. And I think that we've really did a good job of putting all the pieces together. You know, we know all the areas that we have to focus on, and we've been able to leverage partners and bring on businesses who are able to help and support us. And those individuals need to come in and see the community and see the opportunity in the community so that mm-hmm. they know whatever they're going to be contributing, whether it's, you know, dollars, whether it's time, whether it's creativity, that it's going to be put towards the larger picture of really changing that community. So that would be the first thing that I would ask is just, I want to show everyone what we're trying to do in this community. Right. People don't know about us. That's our biggest issue.
I didn't know until it was brought to my attention. Like I said, after I talked to you guys and then went over there, I had this feeling. It touched me when I talked to you the first time. And I went over there, and when I saw everything that's going on over there, I was blown away, because you're doing exactly what we need to be doing. Mm-hmm. Like you say, not these Band-Aid fixes of here's $100 worth of food, you know, good luck. Teaching them how to get a job, do good interviews, how to keep all the things that life. And you know what, Sarah, the funny thing about that is I think that there's many people in every single community around here who don't have those skills.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
You know,
and that's important too, because we're not just fixated on, you know, we have a Get Moving program, which is focused on health and wellness. Mm-hmm. We're not just focused on one single thing.
Right.
We have it all. You know,
we're
covering, you know, workforce development and training, and really matching businesses with employees. We're covering health and wellness and how it's important to be healthy and well and eat right and all of those good things. We're focusing on affordable housing and how we improve the conditions that people are living in the university area. We're focusing on case management and programs that are really intensive to really change people's lives. We have youth programs. We have GED, ESOL programs. I mean, we really have tried to get a continuum of care around the center, and that's what we've been able to do, thankful for all the partners and mm-hmm. our funders that fund all of the programs and services.
Well, I just think it's a great use of money, because I totally agree with you that throwing money at somebody and not solving the problem, that's why people who give sometimes get tired of giving, because it seems like an endless cycle. You're just always giving, but you've got to create an atmosphere where once that, like you say, a step up, not, you know, a hand up, not a hand out, becomes something bigger mm-hmm. than that. So I just think what you're doing is amazing.
Well, I appreciate it, Mimi, and I just appreciate the opportunity to, you know, share our story with all the listeners and, you know, just really get the word out, because that's why I think what we've been missing is people don't understand who we are. They say university area community. Where is that? Where exactly is that? And so we just want to bring awareness out so they can see that change is possible, but we need people's help.
Right. Let's give all the important things, the website, the phone number, and all that again.
All right. Our website is uacdc.org, and our phone number is 813-558-5212.
And I would like to encourage anyone who would possibly want to come to the meeting but won't be able to make it to contact you anyway, because you don't have to come to the meeting to
Absolutely
do it.
Not. That's just a, you know, an opportunity to come and learn a little bit more about what we're doing. But there, we ask that you call us and let us know what you're interested in. You know, mm-hmm. any areas, come out and take a tour. We have something for everyone. I promise you that if you learn about all of our programs and services, you'll find an area that you really are passionate about, and we'll be able to plug you in. And then you'll help be a part of that change that we're making for the university area community.
And really, what more could we ask than to be able to help change somebody's life?
It's huge.
Not
just
their day, their whole life.
Yeah, their whole life.
I
it's
know.
Very impactful and,
it really
and
is.
Exciting. It's exciting.
It really is exciting. Sarah Combs has been, again, my guest this morning. She's the executive director and the CEO of UACDC, which is University Area Community Development Incorporated. Thank you for coming, and I can't wait to get over there and just mow the living daylights out of that pond area.
Thanks, Mimi. We appreciate it so much.
Cool deal.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.